Turn in your Bibles to 1 Peter. And we're going to be looking at a passage tonight, 1 Peter 4, 7 through 11. I don't know about you. How you like my guy here? I just like him. I like that. When I was looking at this sermon, I thought, now that's the one I need to use up there. Do you remember that guy? He'd always be walking around hollering about the sky's going to fall, the sky's going to fall. And I just thought, I thought it looked good. Has a little to do with this lesson, but I really had to stretch to get it, but I really wanted to use that. So if you like that, that's good. But sometimes we have problems in our lives, and sometimes we have disasters that come. We've lived through several of those things lately, not just the tornado that came through, but we've seen tsunamis, volcanoes, and other things happening in the world, jobs being lost, economy being down, all those things. Larry was praying for our economy, for people to get jobs, and that's a great thing, and we need to do that more. But, you know, you think, well, all this is happening, and some people, religious people usually, are saying, well, the Lord's fixing to come. The world's fixing to end. Well, that might be. I don't know. But what we've got to do is to realize that's none of our business. That's the Lord's business. When He decides that it's time and the clock's going to be shut down, then that's what'll happen. And really, I can't do anything about it. I don't know anything I can do about it. I don't want to do anything about it. I have no control over it. What I have control over is my life. And I've got to look at my life and decide what I want to do with my life. Now, let's look at Peter, and the book of 1 Peter is dealing with people that are suffering, are going to face suffering, going to face trouble and difficulties. They're going to face hard times, and Peter's trying to prepare the people for that. Now, if Peter's preparing these people for trouble and difficulties in their life, then why can't we look at that and see how it would help us? And so that's what he's talking about here. And here in 1 Peter 4, he's trying to help these people to understand it. Now I want you to think about this. Look at verse 7, if you would. 1 Peter 4 and verse 7. But the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, because of that, be serious and watchful in your prayer. Be serious and watchful in your prayers. Then in verse 8 he says, and above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Verse 9, be hospitable to one another without grumbling. Show that love to other people. Verse 10, as each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Verse 11, if anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies. The reason that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Now here he's talking about how do you deal with the problem? How do you deal with these things? How do you deal with the idea of all the catastrophes and trouble and problems and all those things that are going to happen? He tells those people there, this, and I want you to understand that. Now he starts out talking about how helping us to understand this. He said that the time, but verse 7, but the end of all things is near. Now some people said he's talking about the end of the world. Well, I don't really think so. I think he's talking about problems and difficulties that these people are going to face. You see, Peter was an inspired person. And being a person that was inspired, he's going to always speak the truth. He's going to teach what is right. And so to be an inspired person and to be able to tell God's will, he would know, or at least God would know, if he's giving him this scripture, he would know that the world is not going to end at that time. The world didn't end at that time. Now somebody said, well, he was talking like the whole world was going to end. He was talking about problems and troubles. Basically, he could be talking about several things. One, he could be talking about the destruction of Jerusalem. Jerusalem was going to be destroyed. Here he's talking to people who, Jerusalem, you know, it'd be like America just going away. America going into captivity. What would the rest of the world do? How would they handle that? Some people think, oh, it'd be a great thing. They may have another thing coming after a little while when they see America go away. And so it's going to be a devastating thing when that happens. Not just to the Jews, but also to the Gentiles. It's going to affect them too. It could be some catastrophe, maybe not just the destruction of Jerusalem, maybe some storm that was going to come, maybe some other thing that was going to come. Maybe he's talking about the persecution that the church is going to face. They're going to have to deal with those things, and they need to know how to deal with that. Today, we need to help people to understand how to deal with the problems that they're having in this world. And we need to help them to understand as children of God. Help them to understand, here's how God's people deal with that. Let me tell you something. We need to be people that we show a confidence in our God that He's going to handle things and He's going to do it right. I don't know how it's going to come out. I don't know if He's going to make gas cheaper. I don't know how He's going to handle all that. That's His business. That's not mine. And I don't need to try to handle His business. I got enough trouble trying to handle my own, much less trying to handle God's business. I need to stay out of that. What I've got to do is to remain faithful to God and encourage other people to serve God. That's it. All this other stuff, it's just stuff. And I don't need to worry about that. So I don't think he's talking about the end of the world here when he talks about this. The end of things. It's going to be a catastrophe. He might be talking about the death of someone. I don't know. I've seen where the death of a person in a congregation can really affect that whole congregation. And so there's a lot of things he could be talking about. And so you just put your thing in there. But he's trying to tell these people, this is how you deal with those difficult times. This is how you handle those problems that you're going to have to deal with. And he wants them to be able to see this and understand it because they're going to be in the middle of it. Now, we need to know how to do that. We need to know how to handle those things. And so here we're going to, I hope that it can help us to be able to see how to do that. And see how to accomplish that. Now, look if you would, if you've got your Bible still there at 1 Peter 4 and verse 7. But the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, because of that, because of what's going to happen, this is what you need to do. You need to learn to be serious-minded. You need to learn to be serious-minded. What did I do with that thing? I'm supposed to hit this button. I got it in this pocket. I got to be careful. I might hit my pump and shoot a little insulin in. Preach for an hour and a half till the insulin wears off. No, don't worry about that. I've already been told I was over this morning. I got to give it back tonight. I'm going to try to do that. We've got to face these difficulties. We've got to handle these things. And what he's trying to say here is we've got to get serious about this. Have a serious mind. And I don't mean by that that we're looking and just kind of frolicking and it's not that big a deal and we're not going to worry about it. That's not it. We need to be concerned about this. The idea of a Christian and facing difficulties and trouble, it's not that, oh, they just smile and go on. They just deal with it and there's no difficulty. There's no tears that shed. Let me tell you something. Christians cry about things too. They're upset about it. But when push comes to shove, when the end of the day is, we go to God and say, God, we're in your hands. You're the one that's controlling this. And God, I don't understand it, and I'm worried about it, but I know you're in control. And so we've got to have this serious mind as we deal with that. We've got to be willing to be able to do that. One people, sometimes people think that they may mess up, they may do things wrong. Always remember, God loves you. God wants to do the best for you. He wants to help you every way He can. We've got to remember what the Lord's trying to say to us. We've got to remember that we can't let these difficult times destroy us and let these difficult times cause our faith to become weak, because we've got to show to the world what Christianity is all about, what Christianity is doing. Now, how do we do that? Now, I listed some things here. Our thinking can be clouded. It can be clouded because of prejudice. Now, I'm not talking about racial prejudice per se here. I'm talking about prejudices that we have, things that we've already got in our mind that we don't even think about it. When that comes up, we just go straight to it. Now, it may be a racial thing. It may be something else that we're prejudiced. It may be a person, you know. It may be, I've seen people that were prejudiced toward people that had education. I've seen people prejudiced toward people that didn't have education. I've seen people prejudiced toward people just because they were prejudiced. It didn't make any difference. But what we've got to do is we've got to realize we can't have that. You know, when Nathaniel was approached by Philip about coming, I found the Messiah. We've read about him. We've talked about him. I found him. Oh, what's said here? Can anything good come out of where? Nazareth. Can anything? Now, that's prejudicial. He's saying there's not a good person coming out of Nazareth. He already had his mind made up. And probably if he hadn't been encouraged, he would have just said, I'm not going to go down there and listen to that guy. I'm not going to go hear him. I'm not going to listen to what he has to say. Man, he's from Nazareth. I don't want to listen to that. So be careful that we, in our prejudice, we don't block ourselves from being able to receive the blessing, the encouragement, the help that God is offering to us. We've got to be able to do that. And so here we can't do that. And so here, and it's wrong. Being prejudiced is wrong. Not just the racial prejudice, but other kind of prejudices too. We need to get away from those things. And like I said a while ago, some people, because people have education, because they don't have education, some people because they're pretty, and some people because they're not, and some people because of this or that or whatever, or a part of the country. You know, we need to get those things out of the way. Because that destroys a unity that's found within the church. And you don't need to do that. We need to have a unity that is strong, that is powerful, and that is great, and we need to use that. We can have a political cloud over us and let politics get there. Have you ever heard any? I've heard people say before, and I think it's an awful thing to say, I wouldn't vote for Jesus Christ if he was a Democrat. You ever heard anybody say that? I wouldn't vote for a mule if he ran for president, or I would vote for a mule if he ran for president if he's a Republican. And you go, what? You know, what? Have you already got your mind made up about things? Let me tell you something. We need to have our minds open to receive the Word of God. You get your mind made up as to how it's going to be, and let me tell you something, even Jesus Christ can't change you. Did he change the Pharisees? Did he change them and their thinking and the way they felt about it? Oh, he changed some of them. Some of them died rejecting Jesus Christ, turning away from him because it can't be that way. It can't happen. So what we got to do is we've got to have the right kind of mind. We've got to have that clear kind of thinking. Now, turn, if you would, to 2 Peter, the first chapter, verses 5 through 8. 2 Peter, the first chapter, verses 5 through, 5 through 9. But also for this very reason, give all diligence. Add to your faith what? Add to it virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge, what's that? Self-control. You see, this thing of self-control and being able to control your emotions and control yourself, that's one of the Christian graces. That's one of the things we've got to have. That's one of the things that God says we've got to have. Peter here is, by inspiration, telling us this, we need to learn a self-control, to control ourselves, not just our tempers, that needs to be controlled, but control our habits and everything. And what it's trying to say here, what we're trying to say here, is that we need to have our minds in such a way as we're the ones that are making the correct decisions and not making decisions that are based upon false things, but based really on the Word of God. And that's what Peter says. And we go down in verse 11 of 1 Peter there. That's what he's saying there. The oracles of God, God's Word, that's the thing that needs to guide you. Not how you feel about things, how you want things to be, how you think things are supposed to be, but it guides you as how it is. That's what God wants to do. That's what God's trying to do for us. He's trying to help us to be able to have that. And so we need those things within us. Now, second point. I only got three, so don't worry. Second point, we need to be people that above all else, we learn to have a love for each other. Now look as he talks in verse 8. Now you think, wait a minute, what has this got to do with dealing with problems and difficulties? Let me tell you something. Some people don't realize the help it is to have other people that stand with you, that are there with you. I've been at the hospital with families when there was just that family there, and that's all. Nobody else. I've been there when the room was full because people came to support a person that was sick and to support that family. It may be a time of death or a time of heartache or something, but they were there to support that family. Listen to what Peter says. And above all things, have a fervent love for one another. Now, the Lord tells us to do that. That's an important thing. It's very important. Look as he goes on to say, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Do you know, because of love, our sins are forgiven by God. It's because of God's love. It's not because of how good we are. It's not because of how much we know. It's not because of what we do. It's because God loves us that he does that. Now, please don't go to the extreme like some people do. Oh, he loves me. I can do whatever I want to. No. I hope you had parents that loved you but disciplined you. Because if they did not, that love is more of a hate, because you're going to end up in trouble a lot. You need a love that's going to discipline you and help you. And what he's saying here is this thing covers a multitude of sins. Sometimes somebody might say something and we just say, they didn't mean that, and go on. Maybe people didn't understand it. Maybe they did. But who cares? I don't care. I'm going on. And we just go on. We overlook those things. And God overlooks our sins because of the love that he has for us. Because what Jesus Christ has done there on the cross for us. What he's paid there for us on the cross. He's done every bit of that. And we need to understand that. We've got here, Peter talks in 1 Peter 1 and verse 22, how that we are, again, not of corruptible seed. We're saved not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible through the Word of God. Because of God's Word, that's his love for us. I hope you see that God has given us the Bible, and that's one of the great ways that he shows his love to us. He didn't say, you serve me. How do you want us to serve you? I'm not going to tell you. You're going to have to figure that out for yourself. God didn't do that. He didn't do it for the Jewish nation to prepare those people to show the rest of the world. God's always going to give you a law to go by. God's always going to let you know what his will is. And we don't have to worry about that. We do what he says. And God does what he says. And we know what he says. We know what he tells us that he wants done. And we know that he is doing that. It is something that's very important. It's something that we have to realize. Not only is that love strong and great, but that love makes it possible for us to really have our salvation. And we've got to realize that. It shows that we are Christians. It shows that we're children of God. If we got a love one for another. This is something. The world loves you because of what you can give for them or what you can do for them. The world loves you because of the power they can exert over you. Well, Christianity comes in and says, it's not because of what you can do for me, but I'm going to love you. You know, we've got in the last few years this thing of unconditional love. And people act like, oh, this is the first time we've ever heard about that. No, God has been doing that for a long, long time. He's been loving us unconditionally. Now, by that, I don't mean he's putting up with what we do that's wrong. He's loved us even though we've done wrong. And he wants to forgive us. And he wants to do the best for us. And he's trying to do the best for us. And how far will he go? I don't know. How far will his grace go? I don't know. Now, I know I don't want to tempt it. I know I don't want to push it, try to see how far I can get to where I'm out of his grace. I want to stay in that. I want that all the time. I need that all the time. I've got to have that all the time. And so here, we've got to have those things. This has got to be a part of our life. This has got to be a part of the thing that we're going to be willing to do. And John 13 in verse 34, he talks there about that love, that new commandment that he's going to give to them. And it's love. Wait a minute. Is that the first time love had been talked about? Is that the first time that God had talked about this thing of love? And all, what's Jesus talking about, a new commandment? He's talking about a commandment here that needs to be fresh in the minds of those people. a love like they've never seen before, a love like they've never understood before, a love like they can't even find in the world. But it's found in those that serve God. It's found in those people that are trying to do the will of God. It is a deep, abiding love that is found within us and within God. And see, if God's giving us that kind of love, we need to give it to other people. We need, and you know, this shows that we're Christians. It shows to the world that we're God's people and that we're following God's way and trying to do the will of God. It helps us. It causes us to have a deep abiding care and a concern. And it creates, does not create, but it eliminates a lot of problems, a lot of difficulties that we have to face. And we have to have that. We have to have that kind of love. By this, 1 John 3:16, by this, they're going to know that you're my disciples. Why? Because you have love one for another. Now, people might not listen to all these sermons. They might not want to come to church. But there's one thing that they can really see, and that's when we have a love for other people. A love for other people. Especially for our own brethren. I've heard people talk about a congregation, talk about people, and say the worst things in the world. And here are people who are not Christians, and we're talking about this church over here. Well, they do this, and they do that, and they do that. And they may be. But let me tell you something. Don't talk about it in front of other people. You want to talk about it? Go talk to them. What are you talking to other people about? They can't do anything about it. Go talk to the people that can do something about it. But we don't want to do that. We'd rather talk to somebody else or about somebody else, to somebody else, because it really makes us feel good. But that's the devil working in us. And it shouldn't be a part of our lives. It shouldn't be something that we have within us. If we see a brother or sister in need, we need to try to help them and do what we can to help them. That's what we need to do. We got to do that. Melvis was showing me a while ago, if I remember correctly, it's a little bit over $24,000 that we received in aid. And they've just about spent all of it. Don't worry about them hoarding the money. They don't do it. It's all gone, just about, because they've been using it and using it to help other people, to help our brethren in the difficulties that they had to face. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that great to be able to have that, to be able to do something like that? And that's what we're supposed to do, is help other people. That shows our Christianity. Having a big bank account does not show our Christianity. It shows our lack of faith in God. We need to have a faith in God and a trust in God that He will help us to be able to accomplish those things that need to be done. We need to have that kind of love. It needs to be a part of us. Now, I want you to look at this. These are some of the things, and I'm not going to try to go over all these. Look at them if you would. Some of the things here that talks about, we need to be willing to lay down our life for God. For our brethren, we need to be willing to help them when they are in need, when they have wants and they have desires that we can help them with. We need to try to do that. We need to have actions and not just words. You know, the Lord talked about some people that said, "Oh, we're hungry." He said, "Oh, be warmed and filled," and whew, we're gone. He said, "Do something about it. Show that kind of love. Help people to see that kind of love, and it'll show to the world." It gives us a confidence in our own salvation. It gives us a confidence in the salvation that we have because we're willing to show love and help others. That's what we're supposed to do. That's what we've got to be willing to do. Then it makes us more like Christ because we're willing to show love for other people. You know, does Christ love us like we love others? I hope not. I sure hope not. Because sometimes we don't show love like we should. Christ loves us. And we need to learn to love like Christ loves. And when we are able to love our brethren and even love people in the world, we're showing what Christ did. And we're showing what God did, what heaven did. We need to be willing to and this love, and we talked about all before, it covers a multitude of sins. It covers all these wrongs. Love covers those sins even before God, not just before brethren and all. And then lastly, love leads us to a hospitality. It leads us to the idea of helping others and doing for others in such a way that it's going to help them to be better people and show to the world what it's supposed to be. Final point here. Use whatever you have. Use whatever you have to be able to overcome. Use whatever you have to be able to overcome. Now listen to this. Verse 9. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. As each one has a specific gift, ministry is to one administer to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Okay, now listen at this. Don't misunderstand what I'm trying to say here. In Acts 2 and verse 38, it is promised there, the Holy Spirit. It's not talking about miracles, has nothing to do with that, so don't get worried about that. But it's saying that God gives us a gift. God gives us the gift to be able to use, and we need to use that. You can say a gift, you can say talent, you can say ability. God gives that. There's not a person that is in this building tonight that doesn't have a talent or an ability or something that God has given you to use in the church. Every one of us have that. Now, whether we'll use it, that's another question. And that's part of what we're trying to encourage here, is using those talents and those abilities that we have for the glory of God. Now, if you don't like Acts 2 and verse 38, just dump that one, okay? Just get away from that. Turn with me, if you would, to Romans, the 12th chapter. I want you to see something here. In Romans 12, starting with verse 6, In Romans 12, verse 6, having then the gifts differing, we've got different gifts according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. God has given us gifts, abilities, use them is what he's saying. Now, look at what he's saying here. He's not talking about miraculous gifts here. He's talking about just things. And when we say prophecy, everybody's going to go, oh, yes, it is. No, prophecy is preaching. It's teaching. Sometimes it's talking about the future, telling people to prepare for the day when the Lord will come. Sometimes it's talking about sins that the people are involved in. And he said here, if it's that idea, if it's that of prophecy, then let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. You see, we prophesy in a proportion to the faith that we have. Now, we build our faith or we tear our faith down. God gives us everything we need to build our faith. If we don't use it, it's not God, it's us. We've got everything to build our faith. Then, verse 7, of ministry, of doing the different works, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching. He who exhorts in exhortation. He who gives with liberality. He who leads with diligence. He who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Those are not miraculous gifts. Those are just everyday Christian things that we're supposed to do. So it's not talking about that. But you see, we've got those abilities. Somebody says, well, what if you've got the ability to make money? Make money. Don't hoard it. Use it for the Lord. You've got the ability to be a leader. Don't use it in the world only, but use it in the church. Because that's what you're supposed to do. God gave you that ability, and if we take the ability that God has given us and we use it every place except the church, then we're misusing it. And we're not using it right. We need to use it right. If we can encourage other people, I mean, we could be the greatest encouragers that ever could be in the world. Do we do that at church? Do we encourage people in their Christianity to live the Christian life, to serve, to do God's will? Do we encourage the missionaries? Do we encourage all those people? Do we do that? Or do we go out here and use this in the world to encourage and lift up, maybe make a lot of money with it, but we don't use it in the church? It's wrong. It's wrong. We need to use those things for the glory of God. We need to use every one of those things. And we have those gifts that are given by God, talents, abilities, whatever you want to call it. You put your name on that. hadn't got a thing in the world to do with miracles. He gives us those things. We can use them or not use them. Whatever we want to do with them. That's our choice, to use them or not to use them. We've got to be willing to do that. We prove them as good. We prove them as profitable. We had different gifts building up the body of Christ. Now, we could go to Romans 12 here, verses 3 through 5, and read about, you know, we're a body, and Paul's illustration of the body, and not all the body is the same. The body is not just preachers. Woo! Isn't that a great thing? Amen. It's not just elders either. Amen. Thought I'd throw that one in there, just pop it, you know, let it go. It's not that. It's not just Bible school teachers. Now, please don't misunderstand. I'm not saying those things are not good. They are good, but it's not just that. We've already read exhortation. We've already read being able to make money. We've already read a lot of other things. We need to be using those things, and that shows that. And in Romans, the 12th chapter here, verses 3 through 5, he tries to illustrate that. And here you build up the body. Each body is a different part. Each person is different. Use what you have. You don't want just all song leaders. You don't want just all preachers. You want people that can encourage and lift. And we could go on and on about those things. Those things are so necessary. Those things are so needed. God gives us talents. God gives us abilities. And what He does is say, use those for His glory. Use those for His honor. Use those for His praise. We've got to be willing to do that. If we don't do that, then we're misusing those things, those abilities, those talents that we have. He tells us how to handle the world when the world's going about falling apart. What's that? We need to be people that we realize that we're a part of God and we're going to follow God. We need to be people that we're going to be willing to use what we have and do what we can and not worry about what we can't do. I can't control the wars in the world. I can't do anything about that. I can pray about it. I can try to encourage people to do what's right, but that's about as far as I can go. But you know what? I can worship God. I can encourage people at church. I can do this. I can do that, and I need to be doing it. I need to be using myself in the kingdom of God. That's what God wants us to do. And that's what Peter was trying to say. These people, listen, you learn to love your brethren because you need their help. You need their encouragement. You learn to be a person that you're going to be willing and able to be able to use the talents and abilities that you have. You be willing to be one that is, you have that Spirit of God in you, and you're going to use that for the glory of God. And it's not a matter of, it's your gift or your talent. Sometimes our gift and our talent is not something that is just overt. It's not something that's just there. Sometimes we have to work on that. Sometimes we have to use ourselves to do things that we're not comfortable doing. That's a big problem. We need a teacher. Well, I'd like to, but I can't. You know why you can't? Because you don't. Why would God give you that ability in a greater way if you're not going to use what you got? It's just like a good knife. If I got my knife with me, I got it somewhere. I don't have a big one. A knife is only as good as how sharp it is. And what we've got to do is to sharpen ourselves for the kingdom of God. And I'm going to tell you, you're going to make mistakes. You're going to do things that are wrong. You're not going to be the best one in the world. But that's all right. You do what you can. That's all God asks you to do. And it'll surprise you at what you can do for God. The ability that you do have for God. And so let's do that. Let's use ourselves for God. Let's be willing to do that. Don't worry about the world. I can tell you what's going to happen with the world. Anybody else know? What's going to happen to the world? Huh? It's going to be burned up. It's going to be destroyed. And we're all worried about all this. Forget that. We need to be following the Word of God. We need to be following the will of God. We need to be willing to do those things that are necessary in that. And don't worry about all this other stuff. It's going to handle itself. I don't know how it's going to come out, but I can't really worry about it because I can't do much about it. But I can worry about what I can do at church, what I can do for the kingdom of God, how I can live my life. I can do something about that, and I need to do that. the song that has been selected. We're going to sing that to encourage all of us to think about our soul. You may not need to respond.